All right, let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the opportunity to open the word. And as Jesus said many times, may he who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. In Jesus' name, amen. As we continue following Paul, heading back toward Jerusalem, his purpose in ministry, as we saw 2 weeks ago, was to encourage people always in the growth and knowledge of Jesus wherever he went. And he had a desire to reach Jerusalem by Pentecost because he knew, not because he was so wanted to be there because it's Pentecost, but because he wanted to be there because there was people there. Millions of people would come to Jerusalem. And for Paul, that's an opportunity that he wants to take advantage of and to reach people for Jesus. And that was his life passion. That was always Paul's purpose and passion. And we see that reflected in his words to the Ephesian elders here. He didn't want to stop in Ephesus because he had spent 3 years there and he knew everybody would want to see him. And he, as much as he wanted that, he just really wanted to talk to the elders and encourage them and warn them about a few things as well. And so it's often called Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesians. They're not going to see him again. These are his final words to them. And actually, Paul's not, at this time, I believe Paul was thinking that he was going to die in a couple of years, maybe even sooner. And so there's a little bit of finality in Paul's actions and words at this time. He's actually going to live another 10 years. But most of those years, at least half, if not more, are going to be spent in prison. A couple of different prison situations for Paul. He's going to be in at the end of Acts, we see he's going to be in Rome under house arrest. And he spends a few years there where he writes Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and Philemon. He gets released for a few years. He gets arrested again under the Nero and in a very difficult, more difficult situation, actually in prison, actually in shackles. And those last few years will be hard on him. But Paul basically lived to be around 70. Him and Jesus were actually about the same age. Paul was born around 4 BC. But Paul thinks the end is coming, and so he wants to finish well. And whether the end is 10 years away or 20 years away or 50 years away, you know, how do we finish well? Like, do we think just leave it alone and worry about it the last week of our life and clean up our act then? Or is there a better way? Do we start living well today, finishing well today, so that 10, 20, 40, 50, 60 years from now, we will finish well? And that's actually a biblical way of finishing well, to finish today well. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. No amens? We know that verse, right? So the disciples were anxious, right? They were anxious about stuff. You know, where are we going to, you know, eating and clothes and lodgings, all those things that Jesus said God is going to look after. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. He said 3 or 4 times just prior to that. He says, focus on your purpose, my purpose for you today. I'll look after your needs. You know, and there's no point in worrying about tomorrow because he says, I haven't prepared you for tomorrow. Until tomorrow. So he says, we read in Lamentations 3:22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will wait for him. So tomorrow's graces and mercies haven't arrived yet. We only got enough to handle today. So don't be borrowing from the bank of tomorrow to try to handle the worries that are 3 weeks away. Right? That's kind of what Jesus, the scripture, really points us towards. You know, salvation is not just about going to heaven when you die. It's about how to live for God so that when we die, we will have lived a life that has pleased him. So Paul thinks the end is not far away, and he is partly correct, because the way his way of ministry is going to change dramatically. His opportunities to travel around and share the gospel are almost gone. He's going to end up in situations where he's under house arrest or in an actual prison, where he still will use that time to finish well. He will write, he ends up writing letters, which becomes scripture. And so Paul, even in difficult circumstances, finished well. So what can we learn about Paul about finishing well today, so that when our life is over, we will have finished well? He begins, verse 18, he says, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." House to house being church house, okay? Church to church, okay? "I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." But twice he says, "You know." He says, "You know." So he's confident that the Ephesians witnessed his life and ministry, and they can affirm that how he lived among them. And that's a pretty good measuring stick by which we can gauge our own spiritual maturity. And that is, we're going to ask some questions based on what Paul is teaching here. And so he says, "You know." So the question we need to ask in our context is, will people know around us, did we serve the Lord? Are we serving the Lord with humility and with consistency? So Paul reminds them of his own ministry. Not because he's arrogant and needs the applause, no, because he knows, as we just read, there's going to be people he calls wolves. They're going to come in and they're going to try to discredit everything Paul ever said and did. He was hounded his whole ministry by people like that. And so they're going to make Paul, when you read 2 Corinthians especially, Paul ends up defending himself a lot in the letter because of all the garbage that these people have come and said, "Oh, Paul's a money-grabbing, you know, religious, self-centered hypocrite." I mean, the social media of the day, okay, basically, is what they use to undermine Paul, to discredit his credibility. Of course, nothing has changed, right? Just the means by which people use these things to undermine the credibility of somebody else. But Paul served the Lord as he served people with humility and consistency. And that's just the way he lived. He just always lived this way. He loved God. He had a passion to see God glorified and the knowledge of God's word shared wherever he went. It wasn't just in Ephesus. It was wherever he went, whatever town he was in. He served with tears, meaning he served humbly and consistently, even in the difficulties that he found himself in. And he says, "I served the Lord," in verse 19, "with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews." And we've read a few of these, right? They were literally out to kill him. Sometimes he had to be taken away and hidden so that he was not harmed by these people who wanted to take his life. And I'm sure he worried about this. I'm sure this was always sort of in the back of his mind, that there's always people out to get him. What a way to live, right? And yet that didn't stop him from serving people and the Lord. I mean, we are tempted to quit, are we not, when we're under fire from within or without? Maybe we don't have death threats, but let's face it, there are people that want to assassinate our character because of who we are, because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And so they'll undermine God, they'll undermine Jesus, they'll undermine the church, sometimes because of a few poor decisions that we ourselves can make. And so they jump all over that. They can't wait for that kind of stuff, right? But that didn't deter Paul, and it shouldn't deter us. And scripture, and that's why we always need to be in the Word of God. I mean, why was Paul consistent? Because he was always in the Word of God, sharing the Word of God. He listened to the Word of God. And so that's our salvation to some degree, in the sense of, you know, being oriented, reoriented when we're getting upset, getting confused, wanting to quit, you know, people giving us a hard time. Come back to the Word of God. That reorients us where we need to be. In our reading schedule, we were reading Isaiah 44 on Friday, and I found that very encouraging. So just to remind you, refresh your memory, if you were reading Isaiah 44, but now listen, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen, this is what the Lord says, he who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you, do not be afraid, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water on the thirsty land, streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. One will say, I belong to the Lord. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand the Lord's and will take the name Israel. You know, Paul was constantly in the scriptures as a teacher. And when he was down, he turned to those same scriptures that encouraged him and lifted him up. Instead of having a pity party because he was being hounded all the time, he consistently and humbly served the Lord, always with the goal. Why was he doing this? Because he had the goal of benefiting other people. Verse 20, he says, you know, right? You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in Jesus. You know, Paul was all about building up people in their faith. And that meant, right, telling anyone, anywhere, that they needed to repent of their sins. That's not always an easy part of the gospel to share, but that's what is helpful. That's what is beneficial. People need to know. They need to repent of their sins, and that our sins will cost us if we don't repent of them and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. That we need to come to faith in Jesus by repenting. So Paul's gospel wasn't just a, let's see how many people we can get to make decisions for Jesus. It was, let's see how many people we can help know that there's an eternity, a terrible eternity waiting for people if they don't respond to the gospel of Jesus. And we want to help them to understand that Jesus can save them from all that. Serving others with humility doesn't mean only telling them what they want to hear, but sometimes what they need to hear. But we don't have to do that in a hurtful way. We can do that in a gracious way. And so Paul says in verse 22, he says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what's going to happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. So we see that Paul's life was centered on Jesus. So that's another good question we can ask ourselves. Will people see that we centered our life on the Lord if we're to finish well? The verse 24 was Paul's purpose. His purpose and his passion. Complete the task of sharing Jesus wherever he went. That's what he meant by finishing the race. And that's what he felt was a life lived worthily. Now, it doesn't mean, right, we can't use that verse if we're not in full-time ministry. Okay, this is for everybody. Because God has given us all different races to run in our life. Different vocations, different health situations, different life experiences, different trials, different life links, different geographical locations. Yet in all those, God still wants each one of us to center our life around Jesus, sharing God's truth with those God has given us in our circles of influence. That's what each of us are called to do. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, why didn't Jesus, you know, some people might think, why didn't Jesus go further? Why didn't he go to Rome? Why didn't he go to Egypt? Why didn't he go to Africa? Why did he only live to 33? Why not 43 or 53 or 63? And sometimes I think, oh, Jesus, he could have done so much more if God had let him live longer. But when you listen to Jesus' words in John 17, the night he was about to die, he gave finishing well words. Whatever age, which was 33, right? He says, this is for us. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with a certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. So God's will for Jesus isn't really a whole lot different from us, is it? What are we supposed to do? Reveal Jesus to those God has given us. And at the end of our life, at the end of today, right, say, did I bring glory to God? I have brought you glory on earth by revealing you to those whom you have given me. That's all God asks of any of us. We can do that wherever we are. We can do that. We're supposed to do that in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, wherever we are. So is that how people see how we're living? And if they don't, will they? Right? What do we need to do to change that? Do they see that our life is centered around Jesus or that our life is centered around ourselves? What else is on Paul's heart? Verse 25, he says, now I know that none of you among you whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will or whole counsel of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day and with tears. So not only was his passion to share Christ, but how do you do that, right? I mean, we have a passion to share Christ and not do it very well. But Paul challenges us, right? And gives us a good example. You know, will people know that we shared truth graciously? Graciously. There's a lot of graceless examples of well-meaning people who shared Jesus in a bad way, aren't there? And perhaps we've been guilty of that even ourselves the odd time. But when we have the goal of trying to benefit people, right? Remember Paul's words, benefit people, help people. Then, like Paul, we'll do all we can to help people grow spiritually. And I like just what Justin was sharing earlier. You know, him and a few other guys want to get together to help each other grow spiritually. That's what we all should be about. And Paul says he never stopped declaring to them the whole counsel of God. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean he taught every verse of the Bible in those 3 years that he was with the Ephesians. Obviously, he didn't. But it does mean he tried to touch on as many things in the Word of God, in the Christian life, as possible. Did he teach through books of the Bible? Well, I'm sure he taught through books of the Bible, all right? Did he teach about, you know, marriage and money and parenting and all those things and work? Well, I'm sure he did. Did he teach about creation, the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the return of Christ, God's plan for Israel? I'm sure we know he taught on all those things, right? See, the whole counsel of God doesn't mean every verse in the Bible. It means a healthy, balanced diet of scriptural truths that help people to discern for themselves as they study and grow in the Word of God to make decisions that will honor God in his life, on their life. And Paul didn't hesitate, even warning when it was necessary. Paul warned them about their future, about being aware that people from even their own midst might come and sneak their way into the family of God, befriending them, pretending they're one of them, you know, buddy buddies. Yeah, we all want to grow spiritually, etc. But eventually reveal their true agenda of division and sowing seeds of doubt about Paul, and then about God, and then about Jesus. And we see examples of this in some of Paul's other letters. Paul says, watch out for people like this, because they're going to come. They're going to come when I leave, and they're going to come, and they're going to be all smiley and friendly, and then they're going to show you their true colors. And you know, let's face it, we're all a little naive at times, right? As Christians, right? We want to think the best of everybody and think that everyone is wonderful and wants to grow in Jesus, right? But sometimes this is how they slip in, because they know we're so nice, generally speaking, right? This isn't stuff on our radar. Did anyone have that on their radar this morning when they walked in that door? I wonder if there's a wolf in here, right? We don't think like that. And so we can see how people can slip in like that. And because they do it so subtly and so gradually, and they know we are a trusting people. And this is how he kind of ends his last words. This is kind of what he finishes his final words on. And he ends him, and he reminds him of his own honesty and integrity, because he knows these guys are going to attack his honesty and integrity when they come in. And so he says in verse 32, now I commit to you, to God, and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I haven't coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul has to remind them about his own servant spirit, because this is one of the areas the false teachers are going to seek to discredit Paul in. And so they're going to make Paul look like he used people as opposed to serve them, when in fact it's the false teachers who are going to use people and not serve them. But that's another good question to ask for ourselves, right? Will people know, do people know that we serve them more than we use them? For example, I say, what do you mean by that? Well, do people genuinely feel we're listening to them when we're talking to them? Or, you know, I'm talking to John, but I'm looking at everybody else because I want to make sure I hit everybody else, right, in the room, that type kind of a thing. Do we make genuine effort to talk to people when we gather together? Or do we just say hello to the same people all the time? Or do we try to say hi to as many people as possible, because we only want surfacey conversations? We don't want real conversations. We don't want conversations where you actually have to talk about how we're doing, which we're all doing fine anyway, right? And none of us are perfect, right? We've all been guilty of that at different times, right? Sometimes we use people more than we should, and we should be engaging with them. And we can't always, every time, have an engaging conversation every time with people. We understand that, you know, obviously. But, right, sometimes we use that as excuses not to engage people, not to engage in genuine relationships, focusing on more surfacey stuff because, yeah, we have better things to do, right? Like, I don't know, watch a ball game or something exciting like that, right? But the answers to the questions, these four questions we ask, you know, will people know we serve the Lord with humility and consistency? Will people see our life as one centered in the Lord? Will people know we share truth graciously? And will people see we serve them more than we use them? See, the answer to those questions won't be 30, 20, 10 years from now. The answers to those questions need to be today, right? We need to say, yes, I am working on these things today. Because I'm not going to finish my life like that if I didn't finish today like that. And I know it's cliche-ish to say this, but today really is the first day of the rest of our lives, isn't it? And today we have the opportunity, if we can't say, people for the most part can see this, like today is the day we say, I'm not sure this is how people are seeing me in my walk with God. What can I do today to change that? How can I work a little more today so that when my life ends, I will have finished strong, right? The future is wide open. But if you're thinking, you know, I have such a long way to go, it's too hard, I can't do it, well, one, you're lying, because we all change with the grace of God, right? And secondly, you're just saying, I just don't want to do that. But if you're thinking that's so hard to do, I want you to think of something that we've been doing. So a lot of us have been reading the five-day Bible reading program over the course of the year, right? Well, something amazing happened on Friday. Did you notice what happened on Friday? Or maybe you didn't, maybe it'll happen tomorrow for you. But on Friday, right, we finished the inside and we turned the corner to the last page, right? The last page. We're on the last page, right? All of a sudden, we can see the finish line. We can see, my goodness, you know, I actually counted. I think we've read 37 full books of the Bible. We've almost finished Isaiah, 2 Kings, and Chronicles. So that's basically 40 books. We read 101 Psalms, including Psalm 119. So that's worth about another 50 alone, right? Okay. So we've read 75% of the Bible so far. Well, how did you do that? Thank you. One day at a time. That's all we have to do. We just have to finish well today. And then tomorrow's another day. We'll work at tomorrow and work at that and finish tomorrow well. You say you're struggling with something. You're struggling with a temptation. Focus on just today. Focus on just pleasing God today. Focus on not sinning today, right? And tomorrow's another story, one day at a time. Now we see the finish line, right? Say, I can do this. And some of us are almost done life, right? I got 6 grandkids. I got maybe 20 years left, okay? Maybe 30, probably not. And some of you are older than me or in the same boat as I am. And some of you got forever, right? You got forever. You got like 175 years left, you know? But you know, we don't know when that will be, right? How do we know we're going to finish well? All we have to do is finish well today. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for today. It's only half over. Lots left. But Lord, maybe we already screwed up this morning. Oh, yes. Your graces and mercies are still there. We can call upon you, ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, give me the grace. Thank you for giving me the grace, I should say, for getting through today. Help me to get through today. Maybe someone's struggling today, you know, with issues that we're not even aware of. Lord, help them to trust you for whatever it is they need to trust you in. Lord, Seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness and stop worrying about all this other stuff, because there's enough stuff to worry about beyond today. So Lord, thank you for Paul's reminder here in Acts 20 to finish well today, because he thought he was done and he still had 10 more years left. And we still have who knows how many years left, or who knows how many years left. But Lord, we just got to finish well today. Walk with you graciously, trusting you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.